by the Savior. I fell far from above. I've been down to the river. Ain't the same a prodigal return.
Service this morning, because Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way. Praise God. We just love Him. Love each and every one of you. We love the Lord this morning. Let's all stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. It's so good to see some this morning that we haven't seen in a while. Praise God. God's great, isn't He? Amen. His healing power, He's with us through everything that we could even imagine. Praise God. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand.
Hallelujah.
Yes. God knows and sees. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you this morning. Dear Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace, dear Lord. We just want to lift you up. We want to honor you, dear Lord. We ask now that you'll just receive every song sung, every instrument played, every hand that's raised, dear Lord, to worship at you and you alone. Lord, we thank you again, dear Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather in your house. Lord, as we come together now, dear Lord, you've seen the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. You know, the praying for healing, the praying for comfort. Those that have lost a loved one, dear Lord, that we just know that you can just strengthen the families and give them peace. Lord, we thank you for your love, dear Lord. And now we're praying for the lost. Lord, there are so many that are struggling, dear Lord, that really don't know which way to turn, dear Lord. May they just hear your word, dear Lord. May the truth be spoken to them, dear Lord, through you, and turn from their evil ways, dear Lord. Turn from their lostness, dear Lord. Turn from their struggles, and dear Lord, and just turn their life over to you. Dear Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor. Strengthen him, dear Lord, in the ministries he brings forth, him and his family. And dear Lord, for our congregation, Lord, I pray for each and every one here, all those watching on the live feed this morning. Lord, those prayer requests that are being put in the comment category this morning, dear Lord, we thank you for hearing and knowing each and every one.
Yes, thank you.
We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. While you're standing, turn to page 390. There's power in the blood. Praise God. Church, sound beautiful this morning. God is great, greatly to be praised. Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. I don't have any announcements up here right now.
I do. I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
We have started the nursery back over in Kids Church, and I really need some ladies to step up and work it one Sunday. If we have enough, you won't have to work it that often. So if any of y'all are willing, I've got a few that have already said they were. If any of you are willing, please pray about it and be willing. let me know, and I'll put you on the list, and I'll let you know when your time will be.
Sounds wonderful. Praise
God. Sunday morning.
Sounds wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please?
Bless all those, Lord, that are not able to be here, Lord, those are sick in body, Lord, especially those that are sick in spirit. Know, Lord, you can show your love to them and let them know that they are needed and they are loved. Bless this offering, Lord, for the promo of our work, Lord. Bless those that have the gift, especially those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Shine. Can all of us sing this part? Because I'm not sure of your past, but I know my past, and I was filthy in sin, in addiction, in loneliness, in depression. But my God, I'm His child, and He's like, I'm not going to leave you that way. You're my daughter, and I have great plans for you. Do I still struggle today? Absolutely. And I know every one of us in here struggle with something. But that's not who God has called us to be. He still sees us as a person that He wants to use for His purpose. So if we could all just sing that we are no longer a slave to our sin, to our fear, whatever it is that holds us back. We are a child of God, and that means we are free in Him. He has called us to be free, not bound to sin, not bound to fear, but free. And that is when we truly experience God, is when we walk in His freedom and His forgiveness. So can we all please just sing this song and realize how much God loves us, and He's always here, and He is not going to leave us the way that we are or were. He has called us out of that.
Because I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Child of God.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You know you're a child of the King this morning?
Yes, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We need to worship Him above everything and above all. Everything else in the world, right?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because
yes.
Why? We're going home to be with the Lord one day.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. We're going home to be with our Lord Jesus, you know. And every day may not be Sunday. That's what this song says. But it may not be Sunday. But we're going to be with Jesus, so it's going to be Sunday.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Y'all worship the Lord with me.
Every day, every Sunday, by and by.
Oh, by and by.
By and by, one of these days, glory to God. Church, can you handle a place without problems? Come on, church. Can you handle a place without sickness? Come on. Can you handle a place without heartache? How about no more sorrow? No more pain? No more sickness? Praise God. No more death. Every day is going to be glorious over there. My, my, my. If you're looking forward to that time, put your hands together for Jesus today. Because He made it possible. Glory to God. He went away to prepare a place. Amen. And where He is. Amen. Somebody said, where is heaven? It's where Jesus is. Amen. Wherever it is. Amen. If Jesus is there, it's going to be heaven. So good to have you with us this morning. We certainly hope that you're having a good time this week. Very blessed. Amen. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go with us to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. Into the seventh chapter. I want to read the last two verses of the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, and then we'll go into the eighth chapter and read verses 1 through 4. Praise God. Is anybody in this house blessed this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And do we know where those blessings come from? Amen. Praise God. If you're ready, from the book of Acts, the seventh chapter, verse number 59 and 60. And they, everybody say they, stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Listen what Stephen did. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, nailing or dragging men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, everybody say they, that were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love Your Word. God, how we love Your instruction. Father, I pray this morning, God, that it would sink deep into our hearts. God, that it would produce growth and edification to our spirit. Father, I humbly ask this morning that You anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this tongue. God, to speak only that the Holy Ghost would have us to speak. Father, I pray for every need in this church this morning, God. I pray for those, Lord, who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who are down and disappointed. God, I pray for a refreshing of their spirit. God, I pray that we would be in one mind and one accord this morning, receptive to Your Word, receptive to that You have prepared for each and every one here. Father, I ask, God, that You have Your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus, if you would. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, Overcoming Havoc. Overcoming Havoc. How many overcomers we have in the church this morning? Come on, I thought we had more than that. How many overcomers have we got in church this morning? Praise God. We're overcomers not through our ways, but through Christ. Can you say amen? Satan has always hated the church. I hope that's not a news flash to you. I hope that you don't think all just suddenly that there is this great oppression and havoc seeking of those that would come against the church as though it just sprang up. Many of us have been knowing for a long period of time Satan does not like the church. He does not like God's people. He doesn't like you. He's going to do everything within his power to create havoc in your life. Amen. But I believe this morning that we can overcome havoc. I didn't say we could keep it from happening. There's things that's out of your control and out of my control. There's circumstances that happens to each and every one of us. But it's how we handle those circumstances. It's how we face those obstacles. It's how we climb those mountains. There's a gospel song out today, something to the fact that I'm a mountain climber. How many mountain climbers? If you're an overcomer, you're a mountain climber. You don't simply look at that mountain and give up. You don't look at that mountain and say, there's no way. You don't look at that mountain and say, there is no hope. You look at that mountain and you say, there's an opportunity for me to climb that mountain to get victory over it, because the power of God is greater than that mountain, greater than any obstacle. But Satan has always, and he continues today, to attack the church. He attacks God's people. We find that in this particular time that we're reading here in the Actions of the Apostles, there was a great resistance, if you would, to the moving of the Spirit of God. After the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those closest followers, those apostles, those message carriers, amen, begin to go about and preach the gospel of Christ. There were people who readily accepted the preaching of the apostles. Many souls were converted. You know how you get the devil really upset? You start spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You begin to get it on the airwaves. You begin to get it into your places where you work and the places where you shop. And you begin to revive the spirit, amen, of carrying the gospel of Christ to those who don't know the Lord. And the devil gets really, really upset. And a man by the name of Stephen was being very obedient unto God, and God was moving for Stephen. And many souls were being added to the church. Miracles were being wrought. And then he was apprehended and brought before those who would question his preaching and his doctrine, if you will. And I love what Stephen began to do. He went back to Father Abraham. How many remembers the story of Abraham, the friend of God? How many knows that God started a work in Abraham? How many knows that God promised Abraham that his seed would be too numerous to number, and that out of him would become a great nation? If you know that as a Bible reader, how many believers today would agree with me that when God makes a promise, it will come to fulfillment? Amen. God can never make a promise that won't happen. God's covenant with Abraham. Stephen began to preach, and he told them all the way from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and all the way down to David and finally to the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And it pricked their hearts. And they began to call him a blasphemer. Do you know that today people are being ridiculed for preaching the truth? Not for preaching fables. You can get by with that. Not for preaching that you can serve any God. That's readily acceptable. But when you begin to preach the inerrant truth, the Word of God, you're ridiculed, you're put down, you're made fun of, you're trying to be quiet. But let me tell you something. All the havoc in hell can't stop the power of God. There is not a source, there is not a power that can come against and stand the power of God. God's Word is going to be continually preached. Whether we do it or whether God raises up somebody, but He will have messengers. He will have some who have refused to be scattered. He will have some that has refused to be intimidated. He will have some that refuses to bow down to political correctness. He will have some who will stand up and say, though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. Hallelujah. Overcoming havoc doesn't mean running from it. Doesn't mean pretending it never happened. I think we all agree that we are the recipients of havoc in our land today. Pick up your newspaper. Turn on your news. And listen to the havoc that's going on in the world today. I've heard many people say it's unbelievable. No, it's predictable. We should have expected it. Come on. We should have realized that Satan knows that his time is drawing near, and he's pulling out everything he possibly can to stop the church, to wreak havoc on the church, to put silence on the church. But let me tell you, there is a power that's greater than satanic power, and that is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they took Stephen, a man of God, preaching the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. A life-changing experience. How that we too could receive the Spirit that Jesus Himself said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Spirit in my name. The Comforter. And He was called a blasphemer. And He was taken. And He was taken to the edge of town. And He was stoned. Not by rebel rousers. Not by enemies that wanted to overtake the nation or the city of Jerusalem. But by religious leaders. So-called devout scholars. Those that were entrenched in the Mosaic law. Blinded that they couldn't even see the grace of God. Oh, God forbid that people today are so blinded by tradition, by denominational rituals that they can't see or realize the grace of God. Let me tell you something. In order to release or understand, amen, the grace of God, you got to first of all remember and realize who we are. We are nothing without God. We came from the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth we will return. But Jesus said, I will place something in that vessel. Something that is holy. Something that is anointed. Something that will release you from this gravitational pull and give you a home in heaven. And for that He was stoned. For that He took His life. I know there's bitterness in the world today. I know there is pain. And I know there's finger pointing. And I know there's people can't understand how we got to this point in our life. And there are many who are pointing fingers at everything and everybody. But I want you to understand that when Stephen was stoned for doing the work of God, for merely being a submissive and obedient servant and minister of God, he was stoned until his very breath left his body. But before he died,
before that last stone took out the last breath that Stephen had, he used that breath to cry out to God, "Don't hold them accountable. Lay not this charge to them." Amen. Maybe he remembered what Jesus said when he died on the cross and gave up the ghost. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Havoc cannot destroy the church. It can cause confusion. It can cause hurt feelings. It can cause some to be even frightened to gather together. But havoc never will be able to destroy the church, because the Father, amen, that promised Abraham, Almighty God Himself made another promise. There is a remnant. I will always have a remnant. If I don't have a remnant, I'll have the rocks to cry out. I'm telling you today, church, there is a silent majority, which is the remnant of God, that won't bow to political correctness, that won't bow to government pressure, but will in fact obey the Word of God. Havoc is not going to win. Havoc. Stephen was stoned. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial. Maybe, just maybe, Satan said, "We're rid of him." Glory to God. But Stephen had just seen a glorious vision of his destination. Saint of God, when you think it is unbearable, when you think there is another thing that could go wrong in this life, when you think that, my goodness, everything that Satan has, he's piling it on me, I want you to take a spiritual vision of your destination. Through the grace of Almighty God, through the mission that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And let's don't forget, I know a lot of people say we don't need to mention that word. We need to take it out of our hymnal. We just need to cross it out and put it in the New IV version of the Bible. But let me tell you something. When you begin to take the blood out, you take the whole reason out. It was the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary that gave us the power and the anointing to overcome havoc, to overcome oppression, to overcome all of the things that attack the church today. Hallelujah. So Satan thought that he had been able to quieten this revival that was beginning to break out. There's some very interesting scripture, very interesting storylines here. Because those that stoned Stephen, they laid their coats at a young man's feet by the name of Saul. And Satan said, "This is one of my captains." Amen. God said, "Wait a minute. I got plans for Saul. In fact, I'm going to change, not only am I going to change his life, I'm going to change his name." I don't know if you realize the parallel here, the type and shadow. When you or I was out in sin, Satan said, "This is one of my captains. I know I got him. I don't have to worry about him Because he's never going to become one of them believers. He's never going to get caught up, amen, in that religious ceremony of praising and serving God. And God said, wait a minute. You only see the present day Saul. Wait till I get a hold of him. Amen. Wait till I come into his life. Wait till I get his attention. Amen. No longer will he see or desire the things of the world, but he will desire to be in my ministry. He will desire to carry the gospel, and the same one who was instrumental in the killing of saints is the very one who God turned around and caused many, many souls to be won to Christ. What if Stephen had said, Father, slay him. He's responsible for my death. Kill him. Oh, me? Don't answer this question, but have you ever been so bitter? Somebody hurt you. Have you ever been so disturbed within your spirit? Somebody put you down. They tried to cause a spiritual death within you. Maybe they did the unthinkable. Maybe they told lies on you. God said, don't pay attention to that. I know the truth. Somebody tells a lie on you, you haven't got to convince them. You owe them no explanation whatsoever. But you can say, why don't you check the book? What book? The Lamb's Book of Life. I know, and God knows that we didn't do that, and that's all that matters. And you can lock it or you can lump it. It doesn't matter to me, because my record is clear because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And even if I did it, God has forgiven me and washed that away too. Glory! Hallelujah. Praise God. No, Stephen didn't say kill Saul. Father, destroy him. He said, don't hold him accountable. Don't lay this charge to him. Because Stephen saw what his reward was to be. We find that after the death of Stephen, fear begins to strike the hearts of many. The Bible puts it this way. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Amen. Except those who God had appointed and anointed, amen, to carry the gospel. Pastors, ministers, youth pastors, we cannot succumb to popular opinion. We cannot ever be swayed by people who would try to carry or pull us away from the Word of God. True apostles must remain true to the Word of God. It may not be popular. It may cause us a lot of havoc. But I'm telling you, there's got to be some apostles today. There's got to be some ministers today that will stand and proclaim that the only way is through Jesus Christ. You don't bow down to anybody else but Jesus Christ. You don't have to be obedient to any other God, because beside him there is no other God. Hallelujah. That's what Stephen saw. But they begin to run. They begin to hide in caves and places where those that would do them harm could not find them. But one thing they continued to do, they continued to preach the word. Everywhere they went. Everywhere they went. I've heard people say, what are we going to do if they close the churches? Let me rephrase that. What are we going to do if they close the building? I'm still going to go everywhere. Preach the gospel. Have to. It's not a popular opinion. It's not something that I voted to do or I volunteered to do. But God has laid a calling on my heart. I must preach the gospel. I must tell folks that you must be born again. I got to tell the church, don't be consumed with the havoc that's surrounding us today. Because God is going to bring the church, not the building. He's going to bring the church through the havoc. We can overcome all the havoc that's in the world today. Havoc meaning laid to waste or total devastation. There's a movement that thinks because they burn a church down that they've stopped the work of God. Got news for them. Amen. The building ain't the church. Come on. Thank God for it, but it ain't the church. Amen. Some group of people many years ago got really literal and technical about it and said, you know, God's coming back for the church, and they wouldn't leave the church. Building. Amen. Got news for you. God's church is His body of born-again believers. And I got to do this. This ain't in my notes. This wasn't even on my mind. But I got to remind the body of Christ that you are stronger than any havoc that surrounds you. I don't even think the church really realizes the great power that God has instilled in us. Amen. Hallelujah. God has given us something that the world cannot give you. And He's given us something that the world, even though they'd like to, cannot take it away from you. They can never penetrate and take what is what God has instilled into your spirit. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible said when many religious men, including Saul, had made havoc of the church, the Amplified Version says they shamefully treated and laid waste to the church. Something's wrong. When you can't go to church, but the abortion clinics are open. Something's wrong when churches are trying to be shut down by those who are in power, but yet you can go any corner store and buy whatever amount of alcohol you want. Something's wrong. Why? Are they not attacking those so-called places that are open? Satan doesn't have a beef with them. Satan has the beef with the church. Satan knows where the... He knows where the power is. It's not in the places of the world. Come on, it's in the body of Christ. Come on. There's deliverance. Not in the places of the world. Not in those who may be in charge. The deliverance, the victory, the overcoming is going to come through the body of Christ. Aren't you glad to be a part of the body of Christ? Aren't you glad to know that 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 lives within you is greater than any havoc that comes against us? Except the apostles. The apostles said, though they slay me, yet I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to trust Him. Even the saints that were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. There are those today that are simply trying to cause havoc. I don't even think they believe what they say.
I'm not an educated man. Thank God nobody said amen.
But even I know what they're saying is total fabrication.
Why do we read it and we look over somebody and say, what?
What did they just say? What did they just pass? What did he just sign?
Amen.
They want what?
Yes.
Satan thinks he has the upper hand. Because he has moved, and I say this with complete confidence, he has moved on the minority of this nation to create fear in the majority of this nation. And we're looking for a leader. We're looking for a person. I started to say man. We're looking for a person that's going to stand up. The leader has already come. The leader is here today. The leader, amen, will not be found in a place of government. The leader will not be found in the place of the military. The leader that I'm talking about has precedence over the universe, over every living thing that He created, that He made. And He's going to deliver the church. He's going to bring the church out. He's going to bring the church through any havoc, any destruction, anything that could ever befall upon us. But just so you won't get worried, if the building is demolished, that doesn't mean the church is. If the doors are locked, that doesn't mean our heart is. Man, because when that eastern sky splits, don't you think it's going to be like the tornado that hit the Wizard of Oz. That reached down and picked that house up and twirled it. This church ain't going. This building ain't going. It's been anointed, it's been dedicated, but I'm sorry, it ain't going. But the body of Christ is. I said the body of Christ is. Glory to God. When we lose that gravitational pull. Amen. When the Lord says, that's it. That trumpet blows. The eastern sky splits. Do you think that the power of the government is going to be able to stop what God is doing? No way. No how. No time. God is greater than anything this world can produce. Overcoming havoc. Not dodging it, not running from it, but overcoming it. We must overcome this disruption and seize the opportunity to become stronger. I believe with all of my heart, through every trial we're made stronger. Our faith is made stronger. Every obstacle that we overcome with the power of God instills within us that there is nothing impossible with God. Amen. You're coming by too late to tell me God doesn't do miracles. I've heard, oh, that was only for the disciples. No, 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 no. I know of at least 13. I said, I know of at least one more. Because I got a personal testimony. And I would just imagine that I got some more in this congregation that's got a personal testimony. I would just imagine that there's several people, when they think about it, you know what? It was God that made me to be an overcomer. We're going to overcome this as well through Christ, which strengthens us. Whether it be on this earth or whether it be in that world to come. Amen. Sometimes we got to just look through eyes of faith. Amen. And see those things that are not visibly that we can see, but spiritually we can see them. We're going to have to look through eyes of faith through this constant havoc that the world seemingly is trying to reap, not only in the church, but on humanity. And I truly believe that if we desire, God will give us eyes of faith to see. I'm going to try to close with this story. My granddaddy, Preacher Bailey, took a personal responsibility, if you would, when our son Kevin was born. He thought that nobody, including Mom and myself, could take care of Kevin like he could. And he chose to remind us daily. When we couldn't get Kevin to eat, bring him to me. And Papa could get him to eat when we couldn't. And he would constantly watch him and just had a special relationship with him. And my granddaddy was getting on up in age as Kevin began to grow older. And he began to pray, God, let me see this child walk before you take me home. That's all I'm asking, just let me see him walk. And we would pray for Kevin many, many times during revival. We would bring him forward and we would anoint him and pray. And we even would try to stand him on his little wobbly legs and you know, pray that God was going to let him at least stand or walk. Probably not only for his benefit, but also for my granddaddy's benefit, because he so wanted to see Kevin walk. Well, time went on and my granddaddy got really, really sick. He had battled cancer. He'd gotten better, but this time it really had taken a hold and it had spread through part of his entire spine and hips. And he would hurt so bad in the hospital. And of course, prayer was made and God took that pain away from him. He did not extend his life, but he did take that pain away. And we were in there, and I know those doubters would say, oh, it was the medicine. When you take this terrific pain-killing medicine, it causes you to hallucinate and you see things and these things that are not really happening. And, well, you just keep on believing that. As for me, I'm going to believe that it was God's immaculate power that was interceding on behalf of my granddaddy that took the pain away. But I went in there one day, and in fact, several of the family had heard him say the same thing. Papa would be laying there, and he would look over and he'd say, well, Kevin's walking now. And we, at first, we would think it was just the medicine. Oh, ye of little faith. And then he would say it continuously to let us know that he is seeing Kevin walk. Hey, Stephen saw into heaven. Could not God do that to another one of his apostles or disciples? Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe he saw Kevin walking. Amen. But probably he saw him walking on streets of gold, where I truly believe that Kevin will walk one of these days. But I believe that God instilled into my granddaddy the same eyesight of faith that he instilled in Elisha that we talked about Wednesday night when he told his servant to go look again. And this time he saw the army of chariots and horses of fire surrounding the Syrian army that came. Amen. Somebody said, oh, it wasn't really there. Hey, he saw it. My granddaddy saw that. And I'm desiring that kind of eyesight, that faith, to look beyond the obstacle, but look beyond that that's staring us right now, and look beyond that where the hope lies in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So one of these days, there will be no more sickness. And one of these days, there will be no more heartache. We're going to leave that wheelchair behind. Amen. He's not going to need it there. Praise God. Glory to God. I believe with all of my heart. But right now, we got to be overcomers. And I'll close with this scripture. I'll try to close. You know, it's hard for preachers to close. Man. It's hard for preachers to close. It's hard for preachers to testify. And if you're real hungry, don't ask the preacher to pray for the meal. One little boy said, it's going to get cold before he gets done. Romans chapter number 8, verses 35-39. You know it well. Romans chapter 8, verses 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All of that havoc. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, we got any people persuaded today, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Overcomers through havoc. Would you stand? Would you stand? All over the house, would you stand? Would you bow your heads? Closing your eyes, every saint of God praying. If you're struggling, if you're overwhelmed, if you think there is no answer, let me remind you that we are the body of Christ. You got to remind Satan, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You got to talk to him like that. If you have a need this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, make your way to this altar. We'll pray with you this morning. We'll pray for you. Is there one? Is there one? God bless these that are coming. Some of you elders gather around as they come to the altar. Some of you messengers, some of you apostles, some of you elders, believers, come and let's pray. While they're coming, if you have a need, would you make your way down to this altar as well? Amen.
Satan's like a roaring lion roaming to and Satan's like a